Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. 3 days of live coverage from the Sun Belt Baseball Tournament, Montgomery, Alabama. We're at Riverwalk Baseball Park in downtown Montgomery. Bob and Luke on a windy, cloudy afternoon. Luke, the wind may be a factor here today. It's really blowing.
It's blowing out, and we saw that in the game that just preceded this as Troy knocked off Appalachian State. We'll talk more about that one in the program, but some real shots out, and there's a train track right in left field, and man, those trains were in danger a few of the times. But yeah, we're up here just behind third base on the suite level. Great setup for the Sun Belt. Had us a good lunch, and watching the Golden Eagles. Tanner Hall right beneath us warming up.
Don't let anybody tell you the American train industry is unhealthy, because it really never stops here in Montgomery, Alabama. Special coverage of the Sun Belt Tournament sponsored by Warren and Warren Asphalt Company, by Genesis of Hattiesburg, by Parrish Tractor Company, and of course, as always, by Southern Bancorp, and of course, all of our great Eagle Hour sponsors who are always with us, are with us today. 1 hour show today, 2 hour show tomorrow. We'll be back here Friday. We're going to kick things off. We've got Andrew Abity with us from Pine Belt Sports. No relation to Chuck Abity. Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah, you found out my secret. I think people just read my stuff because they think I'm his kid.
Have you been asked that before?
I could retire at this point, if I'm being honest.
Hey, man, we're glad to have you here. And your thoughts, I know you cover the Golden Eagles closely. I see you all year after every game when we're all down there trying to get interviews and whatnot. But your thoughts, let me tell you my thinking, and then you tell me if I'm wrong. I think it's been a remarkable coaching job when you consider everything that was lost to Major League Baseball, to the portal, to graduation, to have these guys here ranked 16th in the country, 12th in one poll, and really playing to maybe win another conference championship.
You know, I saw them ranked 9th in another poll. But, yeah, no, you're totally right. It just seems like after that Coastal Carolina series, they clicked on the mound and inside the batter's box. It was like maybe Coastal just poked the sleeping giant. I don't know. But we all knew that they were capable of playing to this potential and being in this position. And, I really like how the pitching has finally come together. They finally know what the pieces are. The hitting is obviously a lot better than what it was earlier in the year. They're just finally consistent in all platforms of the game.
Right. Last week, great example of that. They've got what it takes to win this, right?
I would think so, especially with this bracket for them. I mean, the biggest team that they have to worry about is Troy. I do kind of worry about JMU, because the guy that they're pitching today is who he had decent success against them on that Saturday game during the season. He threw 5 innings, only gave up 3 hits, and then they got to the JMU bullpen and, you know, kind of ran away with it. But, you know, JMU hit Tanner Hall really well. I think they had 12 hits on him, and it's not like JMU is a bad hitting team by any means. And with the way this wind is blowing today, this is going to be a hitter's ballpark for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what they are for the year, 302. And like you said, when you go back, and I think we said this, though, Andrew, you and I talking, that was the week before Coastal. And although Tanner won that game, he really didn't hit his stride until after the Coastal series. But, yeah, his line that day, 5 1/3 pitch, 12 hits, 5 runs, 3 of those earned, only struck out 4. And so, you know, as Tanner Hall warms up beneath us to Rodrigo Montenegro, I think – he's got a chip on his shoulder getting to face this team again.
For sure. And, you know, for the Golden Eagles to make a deep run, him and Billy Oldham need to go seven innings, bare minimum. They need to keep that bullpen intact. You want to keep Mazza, Armistead, Storm, I'm sure will probably pitch in this game or the next. But, you know, if you want to make it to Sunday, you have to hope to, you have to keep the bullpen clean. And, you know, if Matt Adams is at his potential, you don't have to worry about that as much. But, you know, come to semifinals, you're playing somebody who's playing good baseball, and he's, you know, he's still dealing with that shoulder. We all know he's not what he was at the start of the season, and he's been up and down. You're probably going to have to go into the bullpen in that game, no question. So Tanner Hall going seven innings is, I think, a must today.
On the offensive side, lineup for the Eagles today, Matt Edsel leading off, Dickerson second, Wilkes third, Sargent fourth, Reese Ewing fifth, Danny Lynch batting sixth, Monastere, then Pato, and then what we've been looking at, who's going to catch. Rodrigo gets the call today, 375. James Madison does have 81 stolen bases, which would say, man, that's a lot, but you faced a team with double that last weekend. But Rodrigo, I mean, the bat's been incredible. What's your thought about the lineup today?
Well, first off, I think Blake and Rodrigo are having great seasons as catchers. Both of them are just they've taken huge steps compared to last season. Rodrigo has definitely had the hot bat. He's been typically Tanner's catcher, even going back to last season. It's a good move. You know, he filled in for an injured Slade Wilkes on Sunday in that DH role and didn't really miss a beat with him getting on base. And, you know, Rodrigo is one of those guys that if there's runners in scoring position, he's going to put the ball at play. He's not going to go down swinging. It's not going to be something bad. I like what they do. I like what he's been doing this season. And, you know, it's this lineup that's been working for them the last, 16 games or whatever?
Yeah, really good. We're live here at the Sun Belt Tournament in Montgomery. Andrew Abity from Pine Belt Sports sitting in with Bob and I. Yesterday, James Madison to play the Eagles today. They defeated Old Dominion 2-1. That's a single elimination. So Old Dominion out of the tournament. And then last night in the nightcap, Georgia State knocking Georgia Southern out of the tournament 8-5. The game before this, Troy had a comfortable lead, and App State put a four spot on the Trojans in the top of the ninth, and then Troy tied it and then won 10-9 in extra innings. And later today, Coastal Carolina will take on Georgia State, and tonight a one. Everybody's kind of watching Texas State and Louisiana. But Bob, coming up, Southern Miss, who swept James Madison, and man, it's hard to beat a team four times in the same season.
That makes me a little nervous. I think back to Texas El Paso a few years ago. Andrew commented he remembered that. Beat them the last three games of the year and then lost the first game. But let's not put any bad mojo on the team. Pitching so important, Andrew, in tournament play. As you analyze this field, what teams do you think have the deepest pitching staffs?
Deepest pitching staff? Well, you know, the interesting thing about the Sun Belt, it's, you know, last year CSA had some really good pitchers. I don't know if it's as across, you know. Like, you look at Coastal, right? Great hitting team, but after 2 days, I don't know where their pitching staff is going to be. I think Troy can piece it together for sure. Louisiana, who knows? They're kind of Jekyll and Hyde. One minute they look great, and the next minute, you know, it's tough to know what they'll look like. But I think Louisiana's got enough pitching that they could make it. And Texas State, if they're healthy, they have a really good pitching staff as well.
They may be the dark horse of the whole deal.
Their hide's got to be chapped. I mean, you get swept by Louisiana, and you get the opportunity, you know, to rematch them in a little bit. I think they could be, too. What about this park? Because one of the things that's been said about Coastal coming in is that they play in a smaller park. Now, with this win today, I don't think it's going to matter. But, I mean, it is a deeper park, 395 in less center, 400 straight away, and it's got some short porches on it, but I mean, this is a really good minor league park.
Yeah, like you said, if the wind is like this all week, which the weather is supposed to be kind of like this all week, it might not really matter. I think if you hit a train with a home run ball, you should get two runs instead of one. But
a good chance that could happen.
Yeah, but you know, it's different than Biloxi. It's different than what they've been in the past. I mean, this is it's going to be an interesting park to play in, for no question about it.
What's your thought of this being the site of the tournament? Basketball, of course, is in Pensacola. We all know really how wonderful it was when CUSA played on the Gulf Coast. You see this as being the long-term home?
No. My understanding is that when they – and I know they like playing here. They like the stadium, the economy. accommodations, but when they made the arrangement for this park, it was during the old Sun Belt when it kind of made more sense. And, you know, I do think after their contract is up, they're going to look elsewhere, whether it be Pensacola, Biloxi, or maybe something else that's central for everybody. But, you know, I think after their 2 years, they're probably going to move on.
I mean, we were talking about this walking up, but you could almost play this at the Baby Cake Stadium in New Orleans as well. Because
that's an awful stadium.
It is. But what I'm getting at is the league office is there. But I think because of the connections, I think Bob wants it back in Pensacola. And the connections make sense for it to be in Pensacola.
Well, I think it makes a lot of sense. That's a gorgeous stadium down there right on the bay. And
I was allowing you to compliment your home state. No.
There's a reason there's not a minor league team there anymore. But, you know, Pensacola is kind of what makes sense. But I know it's been – the thought has been there, but trying to work it out with that team out there is kind of a problem. And then you also run into Pensacola during, you know, basketball tournament is manageable, but Pensacola during summertime, yeah, that's going to be a lot harder to do in terms of trying to get hotels and whatnot.
Makes sense. And the Gulf Coast is a great place, but I don't know what other schools would think about that. Perfect place.
I know they're going to have the discussion when this is done. Whether they decide to come back here or not, I don't know, but there is going to be that discussion.
How many strikeouts Tanner got today?
I don't know. Okay. I don't do predictions.
That's a safe.
But he's the guy you want on the mound.
That's right.
No question about it.
Andrew, thank you, man. We appreciate you sitting in.
Thank you for having me.
Andrew Abbott, Pine Belt Sports. We're broadcasting live from Riverwalk Park in Montgomery, Alabama. And the Eagle Hour will be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back to Riverwalk Stadium in Montgomery, Alabama, as the Golden Eagles are getting ready to take on James Madison University. And yet the 14,721st train is moving by the ballpark. Patrick McGee is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Ooh, that's a bad place. He, of course, works for NOLA.com. He's our go-to guy on the Saints. But we're going to talk a little baseball today with you, Patrick. Golden Eagles here in Montgomery. A lot of expectation the Eagles could win this thing. If Southern Miss were to win the tournament, Patrick, will there be a regional in Hattiesburg?
Yeah, I think the odds would be in their favor. Just based on where the Sun Belt Conference stands in overall RPI rankings, I believe they're number 5 overall, and they've been in that position for a while now. I think when you have a Coastal Carolina that won the regular season, they're in position to host, and Southern Miss, who was just a game out, you know, wins the conference tournament. I think Southern Miss, by that point, RPI should be top 20. And I would think the resume is there and that Southern Miss would host. But, you know, part of that also depends on what happens elsewhere, whether, you know, Texas clearly went in the Big 12, you know, conference tournament or some other things happening. I think East Carolina losing yesterday helped Southern Miss's cause. So I think if they win the conference tournament, I would say like the 80% chance they're going to be hosting.
All right, but you got to win it. And we were talking earlier, we think Texas State may be a sleeper in this tournament. Troy's pretty good baseball team. But the good news for Southern Miss is that Texas State, Coastal, and Louisiana are all on the other side of the bracket. So they're only going to have to play one of those teams if they can get through this side.
Yeah, it stacks up fairly well for them. And we'll see what happens in the days ahead. These tournaments can get weird. You hope there aren't too many delays. I know there's already been a slight delay for Southern Miss coming into this game. It's a tough field. There are no gimmies. It's kind of weird to look at the field and not see a South Alabama, but it's still a tough field out there. It's probably going to be tougher than any tournament that Southern Miss has played in. Even go back to, you know, several years in the Conference USA. This is a different setup.
Patrick, one of the things helping that RPI, Troy won. So if Southern Miss were to win today, they could play Troy tomorrow. and then hopefully Troy would come back out of the loser's bracket if the Eagles were to beat them tomorrow. And so, you know, you could possibly, if you beat Coastal Carolina, you'd have, you know, three wins against the top 35 RPI, and that would help. So, yeah, I mean, either way, you're just going to have to win it. And Tanner Hall warming up right in front of us. And kind of your thoughts, you know, as we head into postseason, just when you look at what he did last year and what he did this year, pretty mm-hmm. remarkable. Other than the strikeout count, he kind of bested his numbers.
Yeah, I think in Sun Belt play, aside from maybe that Coastal Carolina series, he really dominated. Now, you know, I wouldn't expect anything else out of him there in Montgomery. So I think Tanner Hall, you're going to see the absolute best out of him. He closed those strong, went deep in the games, and really struck out a lot of guys. I think he's playing with a little bit of a chip right now. He's got that kind of aggressiveness on the mound and really closing out batters. So I think coming into the conference tournament, I expect him to deliver today for Southern Miss.
Let's go down to Big Easy. I saw a pretty cool picture with Carr and Olave working out, and another fun story with apparently Carr's kid knows the Saints snap count, and he's been yelling it around the house. But just seems like Derek Carr is moving into New Orleans nicely and settling in.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, he seems to be kind of that perfect fit. You know, he's always said the right things going back to his days with the Raiders. Drew Brees was kind of that same way. So it's interesting to kind of see somebody in that role who's got some Brees traits to him, you know, on a personal level. So I expect the Saints fans to really kind of embrace Derek Carr. He's a likable guy. He's, you know, he's not always had his, you know, he's had his critics throughout his playing career, but it'll be interesting to see if he can really kind of thrive in a stable environment where he's got his playmakers available week in and week out.
I think the Saints are just an overall better team than the Raiders, personnel-wise. The Raiders are just so unpredictable. The Saints are a talented football team, Patrick. I believe they have the talent to be a Super Bowl contender if he plays like, hopefully, you know, they hope that he will.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I say stable, that stability goes all the way up to the ownership, you know, when it comes to the Saints. They just didn't have that with the Raiders. You know, it's really continuity throughout the organization, something that really Derek Carr has not had at all throughout his career. So can he thrive in a situation to where they give him everything he needs to be successful? He's going to have, if Michael Thomas is out there healthy, if Alvin Kamara is out there, say, for maybe more than half the games this season, he's going to have the players he needs. He's got good depth at running back and, you know, at receiver now. So I think across the board, as long as that offensive line holds up, which I expect it to, they have a chance to be a really good offense. But, I mean, going back to Southern Miss a little bit, I don't think they necessarily need to win the conference tournament to put themselves in the position to host. I just think they need to get to the title game.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that. I heard Kendall Rogers, and you're not the first person to say that, and I think that's exact. I think you're exactly right on that. Simply because you will have to beat Troy, and you're gonna, you know, and you can get that RPI. So let me go back to the Saints real quick. I mean, there's a couple mm-hmm. dynamics too. The schedule is favorable this year, as well as, I mean, you know, yeah, you've got a. What you've got a division with four new quarterbacks, and Bryce Young's going to take a couple years. Don't know what you're going to get out of Baker Mayfield, and who knows what's going to happen continually with the Falcons, right? So it just seems like if there's a pretty good transition with Carr, Saints got to be the favorite to win the South.
You have a pretty good idea of what you're going to get out of everybody that's pretty much in the fold for the Saints coming into the season. The rookies aren't going to be expected to, like, carry the load. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be important that those guys make a contribution. But the depth chart was already looking pretty solid coming in. So, yeah, I think if you look, there's just so much to kind of be determined with some of these other teams, even though I think the Falcons and Panthers did a good job in improving their rosters. But I think the Saints are a team that's going to have really kind of a team that can kind of get out there week one and really be at their best. That can't be said for the rest of the division.
All right, Patrick, game's underway here. We just brought up the first batter, and let's see, Tanner Hall has struck out the first batter on four pitches. So that doesn't really surprise you, right, Patrick?
No, he's been dealing lately, and he's been really pitching to the strikeout and getting a bunch of those.
It's so much fun, guys, to watch it. And I don't know if the kid will be in the zone today, but when he's really locked in, Patrick, he's as much fun to watch as I think anybody that's come through here since Nick Sandlin.
Yeah, I was there in Oxford for the regional there whenever he really kind of had his coming out party and really shut down Ole Miss and Malik. And he's really been pretty unstoppable, you know, really, really dominant ever since. So I consistency is close to Sandlin level when it comes to Tanner Hall. I think he's, yeah, I think Sandlin stands out as number one. The Hall is a very close second.
I will have to ask you this, it's just for our listener banner. Were your eyebrows raised at all when you saw the Ferris announcement earlier in the week?
No, not really. No, I wasn't surprised at all.
Yeah, well, it's
Patrick's been around a while. You could
that's
say
that's a good answer. That's a quality answer, Patrick. Absolutely. Last question. With about a minute left, and let me go back to the Saints. What's Miller's role going to be if Kamara is able to play a lot of the season?
Kendre Miller's role.
I
think they need him to be kind of that Kamara type player. He didn't really, you know, catch the ball a whole lot out of the backfield, but you know, he's somebody that's capable of doing that. The Saints think he's capable of doing that. So it'll be interesting to see how Miller evolves as a pro running back. And I think he's somebody that we're just kind of seeing scratching the surface a little bit. That's cliche, but I think that's what we're getting in Miller.
All right, Patrick, we're always grateful for your input, man. Enjoy yourself in Baton Rouge, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right.
Patrick McGee, everybody.
Mason Dunaway just doubled down the right field line, and so we've got one out here in the top of the first. And
kind of a blooper.
Yeah, it was a blooper.
Kind of a blooper. Right on the line, but he's on second, and let's see what Tanner Hall can do now.
But, yeah, a lot of Golden Eagle fans coming in here, a lot of them finding their way behind the home plate. I think I will, Bob, after we go off at 2, sneak back there behind home plate just to watch the changeup dip and dive, you know, see what he does. But,
yeah,
I mean, one thing with James Madison, they do make a lot of contact, and that's what they did against him earlier in the season. And, you know, one thing, saw what they did yesterday. They didn't hit that well yesterday. So, James Madison maybe taking that approach to other teams to take swing early in the zone on Tanner Hall.
Let me say this, Luke. I just see a guy behind us, Coastal Carolina guy, and their shirts are as ugly as their football field.
Shots. They'll play later today.
Change those colors. All right. We're here in Montgomery. Baseball is underway. Time to take a break. We'll be right back. More Eagle Hour after this.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Special coverage of the Sun Belt Baseball Tournament from Montgomery, Alabama, sponsored by Warren and Warren Asphalt. They don't do highway work, Luke, and they never will.
They don't do highway work.
Genesis of Hattiesburg. Hello to our good buddy Kevin and Mr. Grubbs back in Hattiesburg. Paris Tractor Company and, of course, Southern Bancorp, who sponsors all of our road trips. We've got Demon Mixon with us now from the Student Prince. We're in the bottom of the first inning. Tanner Hall retired. JMU in the top of the first. We have one out. We have two outs.
Dustin just flew out to center field after Edsel struck out to start the inning. Wilkes at the plate.
All right. So, Damon, we're glad to have you here on the show with us. And we know you cover this baseball team for the Student Prince. That's got to be a good job.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's been a lot of fun getting to have the opportunity to cover this team. You know, one of the premier premier teams in college baseball, and having that opportunity at in the college level is really, really good. So
I know you did work with the super intern, Nathan. Does he still require y'all to call him the super intern?
You know, we haven't called him that in a while. He recently graduated, which is
he's gone.
Yeah.
And you're glad. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no, no. I mean, we love Nathan, but, you know, I'm happy for him. He's doing good and on his way to greater things than the student prince, I guess.
Well, I do want to ask you that, though, because I loved when I was a student athlete playing football at Southern Miss. I really appreciated the coverage that the student prince gave because it was, you know, one of our peers. You guys are kind of taking that to the next level, man. I mean, you got the 4th Street Sports podcast and a radio show. It's really cool whenever I follow you guys on social media, seeing you guys interview student athletes and coaches inside your own studio.
Right.
How did kind of the genesis of y'all beefing that up come about?
Yeah, I mean, Charlie Luttrell, is a lot of our listeners know him. Him and Austin Lindsay both started 4th Street, and the vision was to create an atmosphere where we can be college athletes with the college athletes on the field. So while we love having coaches on and different USM voices on or whatever, the student athletes being interviewed by other college athletes, because, you know, we're all just college kids, and you know, you'll hear the baseball team talk about all the time that they're just college kids playing a game that they love, you know, and we wanted to highlight that and kind of give it a different aspect than the normal media aspect of it all.
And you bring up a good point, because we played some interviews that Bob did with Dickerson Lynch, and who was the other one?
Justin Storm.
Yeah, Justin Storm. And Danny got emotional. Dustin got a little emotional. And my whole point was, to our listeners, remember, these are college kids. And, I mean, I know that you have that unique perspective. You know, you see them as not only, you know, guys that play, but guys that go to class.
Right.
That's a good perspective to keep.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, exactly. I mean, there's several. Football is a good example of that. And you see a lot of football players in your class, and you can kind of wave at them, and just kind of a unique aspect that, you know, a lot of the Southern Miss fans may not be able to see that. They see the players on the field, they see them at the games, and that's really the only interaction they have with them, unless they see them out in the town. But, you know, we can just see, you know, Trey Lowe. I remember last from last year. He was in one of my classes. Zach Wilkie was in one of my classes, and I'd see him every other day, and, you know, shake his hand and say how you doing and stuff.
Yeah, and Dave, a lot of fans lose perspective of that. They get so serious about it that they forget these are young men. It was real evident on the field Saturday afternoon that's what they are. You know, they're very young men. All right, what's been your take of this baseball team this year? We think this may be the best coaching job we've seen in a long time because of so much of the bullpen being lost, and yet here they are.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the very beginning of the season, we were, you know, 4th Street, we were talking about the expectations for the team, and we were saying that everybody should kind of chill out. This is a bullpen. I think it had 14 arms or something like that had never even thrown a collegiate pitch, and there was a lot of talk on what they could do from last year. But I think, you know, you saw the growing pains throughout the season, right? You saw the struggles, but you know what? They kept it together. They're sitting here at 37-16 and in prime position here in Montgomery to challenge for a Sun Belt title in their inaugural year. I think that they fulfilled the expectations. You know, a lot of people think the expectation should be to host, and I think, you know, that's a tough ask. I really do. I think it's a tough ask in the league they play in, and they're still in that bubble position to host. And you know, I think if they did really well here and some other things happen, that's possible. But I think that there's no disappointments, and I think the team has only gotten better as the season gone along, and they're clicking at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, you expect to host. Yeah, you do, but you hosted last year. But,
right.
I mean, you haven't done it very often in your history.
Right.
And I think people got to cover it last year.
Yeah.
I mean, we had 3 weekends of postseason baseball.
Crazy.
That never happened.
Crazy.
At the Pete.
It was exhausting.
But, I mean, the conference tournament, the regional and the super regional, that'll never happen again.
Yeah, that was wild. I mean, I think they had a little church where they had all the food. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, we were Miss Kim
killing up that church
Bush,
3 weeks in a row.
Absolutely. So, Tanner Hall, as another one of those pitches gets missed by the James Madison batter. 2-2 count here in the top of the second. No score between James Madison and Tanner Hall as he strikes him out.
And if I may add, Luke, if we could contact that lady,
Miss Kim,
cook that food and get her up here after what we had for lunch today.
Hey,
we kind of miss Miss Kim.
Miss Kim fed us, fed the football team.
I agree. That was an insane media. That was the best media meal that I've seen.
And
for sure.
There was a lot of people from other schools that said, "This is normal for us." Yeah, man.
Well, they're making up for it this year.
I'm not going to say anything. But we got Andrew's take, Damon. I like your take also. I mean, this is a minor league ballpark, Double A affiliate. Andrew didn't think that this tournament would probably stay here. Bob wants to go to Pensacola, and I think there's probably a statement to be made that probably in the few years because of. With the conference expanding into West Virginia and more in Virginia, you got to look at, possibly another location for the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of odd, I would say that. I agree with that. I think the location of the tournament's been in Montgomery for a while now, I think. But, I wouldn't be surprised if they moved it. I would say somewhere like New Orleans wouldn't be that bad of an idea. I like the Pensacola idea, but if you're right, where now that the Sun Belt's expanding into West Virginia, maybe a more central Nashville, something like that. I don't know, but I think that it is a little just in a weird spot here in Montgomery. But Pensacola was great.
We won't get Biloxi because of the home crowd.
Biloxi would be actually take out the home crowd thing. I mean, Biloxi is perfect.
Yeah.
Bit of an advantage for us, but
I mean, if you look at it in comparison, I mean, we're what, 45 minutes from Troy?
And, yeah, that's a good
I
point.
Mean, and then they put it in Gulfport, you're an hour from Southern. I mean, I think that I think it's almost that would be a great place.
Well, if we play into the weekend, I anticipate you'll see a lot of gold here.
I know a lot of people saying if they get to Saturday or Sunday, they're coming. So,
and I want to mention this for our listeners too, because I mentioned about how I appreciate the Student Prince coverage. Dima is at most football games, no matter where they are. He's been at a lot of basketball games, and that's one of the things you guys have tried to do, not just write from afar and throw a paragraph in the prints. Like, this is real coverage, and it's one of the I just see you guys kind of raising the standard for student journalism at Southern Miss going forward.
Well, thank you. I mean, I really enjoy doing it. I really enjoy everybody following along. My first time ever on Super Talk, so that's a pretty big market right there. But appreciate it. But, it's a lot of fun, and we just want to just provide a unique aspect on student journalism or on journalism in general to have a unique view of the student-athletes.
And, Bob, I know you been in journalism all your life. These guys having this type of experience and getting exposed to this type is going to help them in their careers.
It's priceless for you. It's your ticket.
Yes.
And I want to follow up with what Luke said. You guys, you're doing an exceptional job.
Thank you.
And from your podcast to your reporting, and like Luke said, the fact that you're legitimately reporting, you're traveling and eyewitnessing events and then reporting on them. So we commend you guys.
Thank
we
you.
Think you guys have just done a really outstanding
Appreciate
job.
It.
And in all your travels, if you run across one Kelly Center, run away.
Yes, avoid him and do not get suckered into going up to a meal with him, because he will mysteriously disappear just as he finishes his third dessert.
And you just need to remind him that you're a college student. Got about a minute left. Just get your student thought perspective on Coach Barry.
Man, my family knows him, and I think that I'll tell you what, I don't think he could have gone out any better, and I don't think he's leaving this program in any better state than Christian Ostrander. It has been an honor to cover him. That's what I've been telling everybody. It's an honor to cover him over the last 2 years, and to cover this transition is another honor. One of the greatest coaches and man, I know. Like, I mean, he's just incredible. The impact he has on the kids, on the college students, is what I would highlight to everybody. Besides all of his accomplishments, that's what I would highlight, that these men have become young men.
No question. Damon, thank you, man.
Thanks so much for having me on.
We enjoyed having you.
Absolutely.
We'll see you here all week, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, Damon Mixon, everybody, from the Student Prince. We'll be talking to one of our road sponsors next, as we are still in a scoreless baseball game, bottom of the second inning. Stay with us.
tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
This one just a reminder of what's already happened in the Sun Belt tournament. Yesterday, James Madison defeated Old Dominion. That was a single elimination game. Georgia State put out Georgia Southern. Appalachian State sent Troy sent Appalachian State to the losers bracket. Troy won that game 10-9 before this one. Southern Miss, James Madison right now, no score after this one. Coastal against Georgia State, and tonight Louisiana against Texas State.
We want to thank Warren Asphalt, Genesis of Hattiesburg, Southern Bank Corps for special sponsorship of our road trip, and Parrish Tractor Company. Patrick Hawk is the manager with Parrish Tractor back in the beautiful Pine Belt. And Patrick, first of all, thanks to you and Parrish Tractor for sponsoring the show. And I know that Parrish Tractor, a huge Golden Eagle Athletic supporter.
Man, yeah, we love our Golden Eagles. We absolutely do. We're proud of the season they had and they put up, and I think it's going to carry right over into this tournament, don't you?
Well, I hope so. We're a little anxious here with the nothing start after two innings, but we tend to be that way. We think that as long as Tanner Hall's throwing strikes, we're in good shape, and the team will eventually come around and score some runs. Look, we really do appreciate Parrish Tractor. I know that all through the baseball season, that Parrish sponsored some of the events at Pete Taylor Park, and you guys have a real appreciation for the value of the university in the Pine Belt, don't you?
Yeah, we do. It's awesome that we have such a big university that really draws from our local kids and everybody like that. That really, really says a lot about the program, that you don't have to go too far to find great talent.
No, absolutely not. And you know, Parrish Tractor Company, we know a lot about them, but just for our listeners that may not, and listeners in other parts of the state, you guys are really a regional dealership. And to say tractors is a little misleading. There's a lot more to it than just that.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, 50% of our business is probably construction equipment, too. You know, we got a lot of lawnmowers, too. We carry full line of Kubota products from hay and forage, construction, like I said, and lawnmowers. And we also carry Exmark lawnmowers. We've spread out all across the Pine Belt, even further. We've got a new location in Robertsdale, Alabama now. Been on board now for about a year. Good location, awesome place down there. But we've got a place in Meridian, too, and then the original store down in Poplarville, and then my store here in Hattiesburg.
Right. And I know that she's at William Carey now, but one of our favorite Southern Miss athletes over the last couple of years has been basketball player Rose Warren. And didn't I see her out there doing some commercials for your Exmark mowers?
Yeah, we did. She got a pretty good little Neil deal there. Our Exmark rep is actually from her hometown of Puckett. Yes, that was a lot of fun getting to kind of experience that new side of college sports.
Yeah, she's a great athlete, a really good kid, and easy on the eyes. Is that not fair to say, Patrick?
I would agree with that. You got a great personality too.
No, she's a wonderful young woman and did a great job with Southern Miss basketball. Well, look, man, we wanted to thank you for taking the time to talk to us. We're really grateful to Parrish Tractor for jumping in here and helping sponsor our coverage out here. And hopefully, Patrick, when we all get back into town, we'll be celebrating a conference championship.
Well, that'd be great. I'm a Bulldog at heart and went to school there, but I think we're all pulling for USM right now.
I think
cool
you know what?
If we had 3 years in a row, all in the state of Mississippi.
Well, there is no question, and I think there are probably a lot of state guys like you that are pulling for Southern Miss. We certainly are. Thank you, Patrick. We appreciate your time very much.
Yes, sir.
All right, Parrish Tractor Company, one of our sponsors of our tournament. All right, Luke, two-hour show tomorrow, and it is really going to be a good one. We've got Jeremy McClain. We've got Commissioner Keith Gill, the commissioner of the Sun Belt Conference. We've got Gabe Montenegro and his father, and I'm sure we're going to pull up some other surprises. 1 to 3 o'clock tomorrow here.
Got to ask Momo. He went to his first high school baseball game this week. Watched Trey Sutton and the West Jones Mustangs out there in So-So. So got to ask Momo about that tomorrow. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be an excellent show tomorrow. And, you know, with Rodrigo being a senior this year and them being able to talk about that. And the Lynches and the Montenegros will end their careers together. And that's a shot from Peyto. And it's going to be caught. Sorry, Bob. Got you excited. Oh,
right out the 400-foot wall, yeah. Also, we're going to ask Gabe Montenegro about his crashing the intramural softball league and the turmoil.
And interrupting the ESPN Plus broadcast. Absolutely.
So we're looking forward to that. Appreciate Michael Mergens back in the studio producing all of this for us. And again, we want to thank our special coverage sponsors, Warren and Warren Asphalt, Genesis of Hattiesburg, Parrish Tractor Companies, Southern Bank Corp. That wraps up day one. Day two tomorrow at 1 o'clock. 0-0, bottom of the third. We hope you join us tomorrow at 1. Southern Miss.
To the top. Slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. To the sea, fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. I go through the revolution. A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.